Blog Talk Radio.
To be the man, you gotta beat the man. You wanna find out how good you are? You're looking at the American shit. Let's go hook him up!
Another edition of Over the Top Radio. I am your host, Ed, in San Antonio, and I'm joined by my co-host, Craig. What's going on, Craig?
Not much, Ed. How are you doing this evening?
I'm doing pretty good. It seems like our other co-host hasn't called in. Well, actually, he just popped up on the screen, so let me put him on the air. What's going on, Petrer?
Not much. What's going on?
Not too much. We're just wondering if you were going to skip the first part of the show or not.
Yes, I'm here for the first part of the show.
All right. Well, cool. I'm glad you decided to join us. Now, I just actually finished watching our guest episode of World of Hurt. Thanks for giving me plenty of time to watch it, Craig. It finished right as the theme song was going. I had my headset plugged into the computer, listening in with my right ear, and I was listening to the theme song on my left ear on my phone. But I got all the way to the end, so I saw it all. So yeah.
Good. Why was I not given this to watch?
Because you don't check the damn messages.
That's true. Nobody sent me any messages.
I just did like half hour ago.
I blame the push notifications on my Facebook. They weren't working.
You know what? I barely noticed it too. For some reason, it didn't like. My phone didn't tell me you sent it. I didn't see it until I got on my laptop. Like,
it's all goofy. One day it'll work fine, and the next day I'll miss a bunch of shit. So,
well, that's my bad. I found it too little, too late. I thought we needed to do a little bit more research on our guest this evening.
I did. You did get the stuff I sent you, Craig, right?
Yes, sir. I did.
Okay.
Now, I try to do a little research myself. I saw one of our biggest fans on Facebook who happens to perform on shows in the Pacific Northwest. He asked that I not name him. I think he's scared Lila would beat that shit out of him. But he asked me to ask a question, and honestly, I'm kind of scared to ask the question.
Send it to me via Facebook.
Okay. I'll see if I can.
Yeah. I'm curious.
Okay.
I'll give you the thumbs up or the thumbs down on it.
Oh shit.
And doing technical stuff and the show at the same time.
Since you told her we had like about 10 minutes before we were gonna call, did you Couture, do we have a moron of the week? Because, you know, you wanted to do this new segment, you did it for a week, and you haven't done it since, basically.
I did it last week, didn't I?
I don't think so.
Yes, that was when Tammy Sitch got arrested, I did it. That's like a no-brainer.
Yeah, maybe you did.
I do have a moron of the week, but I'm going to do it near the end of the show, because I got to look some
stuff
up.
Okay. That's fine. problem there.
Actually, for some reason, my chat is cutting the conversation off right before the fucking question. God damn it.
Yeah,
well, maybe I'll figure something out there.
Professional show people.
Yeah. Well, we're professional. Yeah. Facebook's just not professional.
Well,
I'm not a professional, I'll tell you that right now.
Actually, the definition of professional is someone who gets paid for what they're doing. So, really, none of us are professional.
We get paid with all the attitude of our fans who listen every week. That's our paycheck.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because that's better. Can I trade that in for what Brian makes?
We're not greedy people like Brian Alvarez.
I'll talk to you for $10. 3 months or so, so I'm fine.
So I can say the exact opposite. But who's the moron of the week?
Huh?
Who's the moron of the week, sir? Sure.
I said I'll do it near the end of the show.
Oh, by near the end of the show? Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, you don't want to spoil it.
I had it in my mind, and I didn't think you were going to ask me like before I started
right
the show, so I had something I was looking up, so I need to read it at the end of the show. So it'd be a good
one. By the way, just a cheap plug for our own little radio show here. If you are new listeners to us, and we might have some new listeners out there this evening, I don't know why, but make sure you go back and listen to last week's show, because we had Dr. Tom Pritchard on the show, and it was a nice interview. And he went about 45 minutes with us.
He went about 90 minutes with us, Greg. What are you talking about?
I'm sorry. About 90 minutes with us. I'm pulling a JBL. Actually, JBL was pulling a Craig last week. Anyway, check out the Dr. Tom Pritchard interview that we did with him last week. It's one of my favorites. So wanted to throw that out there. Yep.
We actually know who we were talking to for.
And in conversations with him this week, I think it might lead to more guests of his caliber.
Oh, awesome. Awesome.
Yeah.
I'm looking for, hook us up with a Brad Armstrong or somebody.
That would be pretty darn cool. I'm not going to lie.
Houston. That would be pretty awesome. The only thing that actually upset me is that Thursday I sent the show plug to Dave, and I'm reading the update, and it seemed like some jerk had to interview him on the same day as us.
Really?
Or he posted the link at least the same day as us.
Who was it, Stamps and Les Packer?
Well, Les is cool. I'm not going to say anything bad about Les, but that jerk shit, I know he did it on purpose. You know, he could have had proper radio etiquette and waited a week, but no, he just got to be a jerk. But Les is cool.
Oh, I love that guy.
Yeah, Les is awesome. Shep? Sure. Yeah.
No, I like Shep. He's a dude.
Well, I'm sure ours was better, as Ed would tell everyone.
Yeah.
But I guess I'm going to start trying to call our guest here.
Yes, do that.
And hopefully I won't have the problems I had last week. So just give me a few minutes. And I'll be back here.
So, Craig, I heard you gave it the old college try and trying to watch ROH this weekend.
Yeah, and oddly enough, I was successful.
Oh, were you? Okay.
I was successful for, I would say, about 75% of the time.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's too bad that the show had so many technical problems, because the show itself was actually decent, but so many people were so soured by the technical problems they forgot all about the decent wrestling.
I hate the computer anyway. I don't much less trying to watch something on it.
I mean, the show itself was good, but I had to go back and actually watch the main event again. That was actually a really good match. I was surprised, two big men having a mean guy match. And, that was good stuff. But technical problems suck, and it's too bad, because
it's going to take a long time for them to get some people back on this one, I think.
Oh, yeah. They're just going to have to suck it up and go to real pay-per-view.
I mean, there's got a COVID company behind them, for gosh sakes.
Mm-hmm.
You would think. You
right.
Know?
Yeah, you think they would pop for a little bit more than what they're giving them.
Did you watch Impact last night?
I watched most of it. I have to do last night.
Craig, can you introduce our guest, please?
Sure thing, Ed. Our guest tonight has been working in Toyota Championship Wrestling for about the last 7 years now, and nobody rocks a tiara the way she does. Tonight, she is here to talk about her time on the World of Hurt television show and may scoop us on a trip in the near future. Please welcome to the show the lovely Layla Lodge.
Craig, you said Layla. My name
I know,
is Lila.
I know, and I knew you were going to say that as soon as I said it. Lila Lodge. I'm sorry.
I have to apologize for my co-host. He's very unprofessional on the show. So.
Right.
Just giving you a warning.
Out of the three of us, I'm the unprofessional one.
No, sorry.
The lovely Lila Lodge is here on the show.
No, it is actually something that I've been told because of Layla, you know, obviously being on, you know, WWE television, that I should change my name to something less like that, which during my time on World of Hurt, Roddy Piper's advice for me, part of his advice for me, was that I should change my name back to Delilah, which is what I originally was. So that's something that I've actually thought of, because you can't really mispronounce Delilah or get it wrong, you know what I mean?
Yeah, but then you get confused for that late night radio show host that sending out a personal message to a certain someone. You know what I mean? The girl Delilah in the evenings?
I've actually never run into that. People just sing to me that Delilah, Hey There Delilah song. You wouldn't believe when that was popular.
That's fair. I was just gonna get this out of the way right offhand. I hadn't met Lila until SummerSlam weekend this last 3-4 weeks ago. Anyway, I can't remember where the conversation went, but you chose to sat by me, probably because I was the most striking man in the room. You said that John Cena said you had the softest hands.
He said soft hands, yeah. It was just my way of trying to be able to massage him, actually. I just wanted to get my hands on those muscles. But when we did the question and answer session with him at the WWE tryout camp, my question for him was, does he get massages? Because not a lot of people know this, but people who are bodybuilders and trying to put on muscle, it's actually really beneficial for them to get massages, because you work out the scar tissue and increase range of motion, you get fluid to the area. I mean, there's a million different reasons why massage is good for you, but especially for bodybuilders, because it gives their muscles can grow easier if there's not a bunch of scar tissue holding them back. And so I didn't go into all of that with him, but he says, most massage therapists can't handle me, and so I flexed at him. You know, that's my thing. I, you know, flexed at him, and I said, John Cena, I could handle you. But sadly, I did not get to get my hands on his muscles, but I did get to shake his hand, and when he shook my hand, he kind of just nicely, just kind of as he let go, just felt my hand, and he says, soft hands. I'm sure you're a great massage the rapist.
That must have been a big thrill getting to meet John Cena at a tryout. I guess it's safe to assume you were marking out the whole time.
Well, honestly, and this is probably going to sound bad or whatever, but I really wasn't I was, but I wasn't. Beth Phoenix was the other guest speaker that was there, and I mean, when Beth Phoenix is in the room, I only have eyes for her. She's just so incredible and such an inspiration to me. She's absolutely my hero. And when it came time to cut our promos in front of everyone and Dusty Rhodes and, you know, everyone that was there, in walks Beth Phoenix. And I'm like, oh my gosh, how could they do this to me? How am I supposed to even sync with Beth Phoenix in the room? So that was pretty incredible. But I thought that I did well on the promo, but now looking back, I understand that my promo was a decent promo. It just wasn't the promo that they wanted us to cut. It wasn't what the story that Dusty told us, and basically what we were supposed to be doing is suspending their disbelief. Well, my promo was all about how I'm a quality human being and blah, blah, blah. It just wasn't what they were looking for. So, yes, I gave an emotional delivery of my, you know, promo, but it just wasn't what they were looking for. It was something that I had thought up previously, and that just wasn't what they were looking for. So, obviously, now I would know. But back to your question about John Cena, definitely it was just, it's like nothing else in the world when you have the biggest name in the WWE in front of you, you know what I mean? And then for me, of course, the Phoenix. So it was actually probably one of those moments that you'll never, ever forget in your entire life.
Oh, well, that's cool. Speaking of Beth Phoenix, have you heard the news today?
No.
Well, apparently she will be leaving the WWE shortly, and it looks like she will be retiring.
Oh, wow. You know, when we were there, she had talked about, she had just was coming back from a broken jaw, I believe it was. But she's had quite a few different injuries since she's been in the WWE, and that's just so crazy. I actually don't have internet, and this might blow some people's minds, but I've never had high-speed internet in my home, and I've just never had access to a computer like people do these days. So I don't find out about things until someone tells me, just like you guys did. So that's something I'll be discussing and talking about later.
Yeah, I just saw it like mainly like an hour that it was on Brian Alvarez's front page of his website just like an hour ago.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
If you knew where she lived in Shelton, you would understand why she doesn't have internet.
Yeah.
But that's another story for another time.
They don't even run the like high fiber optics out there where I live. But actually, I just moved into town, and so as soon as I'm having a computer built, and as soon as my computer is ready, I'm going to be online. I'm going to have high-speed internet in my home for the first time. So it's very exciting.
Oh, that's
cool.
Shelton,
Shelton's not the end of the world, but you can see it from there.
Yeah, yes. It's a tiny little town.
Walk us through the WWE tryout. Tell us what that was all about.
Oh, the camp? Well, I've actually done three WWE tryouts. Well, one of them I got to try out, to do the tryout, and that was at OVW. That's the first time that we met John Laurinaitis, myself, and Dash Venture. We went, and it was basically just you try out to try out. And so I wasn't one of the people that got to try out in front of John Laurinaitis. But Dash did. Dash was the very last name that they called, and it was just, like, incredible. We were so scared that he wasn't going to get to try out, and I just wanted so badly for him to get to try out. But basically how it went was there was all the girls from OVW were already getting to do the tryout, and then there was me and another girl, she was from Green Bay, I don't remember her name, but then there was New York Knockout Nikki. I don't know if you guys know who she is, but that's New York Knockout Nikki, Tony the Top in Wrestlicious. But,
okay, I know who she is, though.
Basically, she was the one who got to do the tryout, and so she got to try out with the OVW ladies, and I got to watch their tryout, but then at that tryout, John Laurinaitis showed interest in Dash, and so we found out about another tryout that he was doing at a place in North Carolina. It was High Velocity Wrestling. He went there because it's a long story, but basically they got to have a tryout for their company because they used to own the rights to the name NXT, and WWE obviously called it NXT, and then they were like, hey, we own that. And so they worked out a deal where John Laurinaitis was going to let their guys try out. So we flew ourselves out there to North Carolina, And that time, actually, now I know this is a long story, but it all pertains to the camp. So, so because I didn't get to try out that time, I was like, I'm going to this other tryout where I guaranteed get to try out. Strong Lord Knight's going to see me. And so by then, I was the only girl at the tryout, and they were kind of like, I had lost enough weight that people were starting to not kind of treat me like a dude or whatever. I was more feminine because I had lost so much weight, I guess. But basically, they didn't want me to try out because I was the only girl, and they didn't think I could hang with guys or something. And I was like, are you kidding me? That's what I wrestle at home. Come on, let me do this. And so what it came down to was I got to know the owner's wife, and she was like, you got to let her try out. She can do it. And so I went and got to try out with the guys, and I was the only girl. And from what other people have told me, John Laurinaitis stood up and, like, watched my match and, like, gave me a standing ovation at the end. It was awesome. The guys really did a good job of, like, putting me over and that kind of thing. But I did my standing moonsault, and, you know, I did the most impressive things that I could do. And because I had lost so much weight, I think, it was just impressive to see this girl beating up on these big dudes, you know. And so I asked John Laurinaitis what we could do to improve our chances of getting accepted to the camp. Because we had tried out, we had applied a couple of times already and been rejected. And so he says, you know what? When you get home, you'll have acceptance letters in your email. And we had already been rejected. We had already applied for the camp and been rejected, but then we went to this camp, and John Laurinaitis himself invited us to come out to the camp. So,
wow.
And Dash will say that it's because of me. I don't know so much about that, but, I mean, I just, you know, it was pretty impressive. And so then we made our way to Florida. So the third tryout was at the WWE camp there in Florida. And it was really incredible. It was really scary. On the very first day, they wanted us to, the girls, and I'm assuming, I don't know what the guys did, but they wanted us to get into a sports bra and shorts and have our picture taken. Well, as much weight as I've lost, I'm still not tummy showing ready. It wouldn't have been good for anybody for me to be showing that. So when it came time for that to happen, I put on my whatever I thought I could get away with. It was like a pink sort of half shirt with like a mesh layover thing, so you couldn't really see too much. Either way, they were like, what are you wearing? And I'm like, well, this is the most that I can show without it being detrimental to myself. And they were like, what do you mean? And I'm like, well, it's anti-productive to show you what's under here. Like, I'm not there yet. Obviously, I know that. So it started out kind of bad because they wanted me to, you know, show them my body, and I couldn't because it wasn't where it needed to be. So in my evaluation at the end, the first thing that it says is, you know, you showed up not in shape, or, you know. So that was kind of a bummer. And then, I mean, the drills and everything were hard, but it wasn't anything I couldn't handle. You know, contrary to what Brady and I don't even remember, Dylan said, I do have cardio, so I can run and keep up with people and everything. So I did the drills, but during one of the drills, the first thing that happened to me was I was working with this chick, I can't remember what her name is. It's like something, I don't remember. Either way, she was from Mexico, and we just had a miscommunication. And basically, she, like, landed on my face. Her hip came down on my face, and my orbital socket around my eye actually got cracked. And so I got hurt. Yeah, I got hurt, like, the second day, maybe even the first day. And so I just literally, my face was black and blue for the rest of the camp. And so anytime anybody looked at me, they were like, are you sure you want to do this? Are you sure? And so everybody's making me feel like I shouldn't get in the ring because I'm hurt. And then on top of that, something else happened doing just like a pin drill, and I hurt my knee. So I had this ace bandage on, and it was just ridiculous how everybody treated me once I was hurt. you know what I mean? Like, nobody
yeah.
wanted me to get in the ring, and I don't know, it was just kind of crummy. So
yeah.
all in all, the tryout didn't really go that great for me, and the evaluation said so. I mean, it was like, well, we can't really give you a very accurate evaluation because you had to sit out so much. And so it was like, but they made me sit out. And then they said that my promo was, you know, whatevs. And so that was a bummer. But, I mean, okay, so Billy Kidman was there at the tryout. And the first thing that happens is we go through this thing where we meet Norman Smiley and Billy Kidman, and he asks us questions. And so I wrote down that I do Zumba class. Like, that's what I do. I do Zumba. It's part of how I've lost my weight. And so he's like, what's this Zumba about, you know, or whatever. And I told him about it. And he says, so, do you know the horizontal mambo? And I'm like, oh, please don't be like this, you know. And so there's Billy Kidman, horizontal mambo jokes starting me off. And then it comes time for me on the, like, the last day we're cutting our promos. And on top of the fact that Beth Phoenix was there watching me, I bend down to get into the ring, and a giant fart noise goes off.
No.
Like, over the loudspeakers, so everybody heard
oh.
it. So obviously they knew that I didn't break wind or whatever, so I get in there and I just laugh it off, you know, like I tried not to let it bother me, even though it kind of did, it frazzled me or whatever, so I curtsied for everyone and took a bow, you know, like, haha, I'm game for your jokes. And so then I cut my promo, and it wasn't what they wanted, and Dusty Rhodes, you know, was like, did you even listen to my story? And I was like, damn, I suck. But then, so I go to leave, and then the fart noise goes off again, and it's like, all right, I'm done with this. So by the end of it, I was pretty worn. It was like, man, I kind of wish,
wow.
I still wish that I would have just waited until I got in better shape, because really, I blew my money, like, spent all the money that it was to go and do that, knowing that I wasn't in shape, knowing that I wasn't where I wanted my body to be. And, you know, it's like, after coming out of that and then having my evaluation just see the shits, and I'm just like, you know, kind of backslid a little bit, gained a little bit of weight back, you know, how people do. And then, World of Hurt came along, so started losing weight again. Well, do you guys want to ask me about World of Hurt, or do you just want me to keep talking?
I want to say something right now. I don't think you're wasting your money, because they're gonna recognize your face. I mean, just from the time that I first saw you to, you know, the stuff on World of Hurt that I actually watched today for the first time. And then seeing you, you know, just a month ago, you look you look very good. And they're going to be able to, they're going to recognize your face and say, oh, that was that girl. She was, you know, she's putting in work. And I think they're going to respect
yeah.
that. So don't think you're wasting your time or your money.
Yeah.
Good on you for trying again and again.
Yeah, no, definitely. And I mean, it's something that, it was an experience that I value, and, you know, that I just don't know necessarily that I would want to go back and do it again in the same way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, kind of like with World of Hurt, it's like, if I were, well, from what I hear now, it's been canceled, and so there's not even a chance. But what I always said was that if I was ever going to do World of Hurt again, I'd go back, you know, after I've lost my weight and be all bomb and be like, what now? I'm half naked, like freaking Taya, like, you know, or whatever. Just to be like in your face. But now if I were to go back and try to do the camp, I feel like if I was going to get signed or something like that, it wouldn't be through the camp now. But if I was going to go back to the camp, I would definitely be ready for it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Now regarding World of Hurt, we have Lance Storm on the show all the time. He was the coach of the first season, and we had one of the guys from last year. I forgot his name, but it was the guy who got molested. by the other guy.
The Italian Stallion guy?
No. It was Tom Mann? Tom, I can't remember his name either.
T-Bone.
Tom something. Yeah, T-Bone. There it is.
Yeah, T-Bone. Yeah, and basically Lance is just like, he constantly talked about his frustration because, you know, they just did so much editing and production work. And right off the bat, the World of Hurt that you were on, how much of it was legit and how much was it a show?
Okay, so, and I've heard the review of my episode, you know, that Brian and Vinny did, where they're like, man, I can tell that these other episodes are bullshit, but Lila's seems real, you know? And what I'll say to that is that there were a few scenes or whatever things that they have footage that were real, that were definitely real. I was pissed off and I wanted to punch someone in their face. But what the truth of the matter is, we were there for 3 weeks and there were maybe 2 incidences and they just chopped up those 2 incidences and put them all, you know, to make it look like it happened every day. And then there was one scene that they totally staged and, you know, like they were trying to make me look like I'm flying off the handle or whatever. Mm-hmm. But what I will say is that literally we got maybe 10 minutes alone with Roddy Piper without cameras, without, you know, him having to worry about not giving away every secret, you know what I mean? Like, he doesn't do this kind of stuff because he's not about just completely breaking kayfabe, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I think when you really look at it, he was the last wrestler to not break kayfabe in interviews.
Yeah, well, and then the thing is that some of the footage that was in there, like where I'm talking about personal stuff, he disarms you to the point of that he says to me, now, I want to help you, but if I, with all of these cameras and all of this, you know, production and everything, I'm not going to be able to help you unless I know the real you. So if you think that you got this and you don't need Roddy Piper's advice, then be your character, do your thing, you know. But if you want help, I need to know the real you, you know. And so, and on top of that, when we are going in for the interview, the one where I'm like practically crying and telling him about, you know, when we lost our house when I was a kid and stuff like that, it was just kind of like, when we walked in there, they told us that we were going to meet with our student trainers. I thought I was walking in to talk to Casey Spinelli, you know, and there's Roddy Piper. And so automatically you're like, oh, my God, that was a terrible trick to play on me. And then he does this thing where he looks at you so intently that you you don't want to stare back into his eyes because you feel like he's going to, like, read your soul or something. I've said that before. But it really was, like, disarming to be talking to him in that way and for him to say that he cares about us and that he genuinely cares what happens to us. Now, in the very end when he tells me, walk away, you know, whatever, nobody knows that he and I had personal conversations where we talked about whether or not I really wanted to do wrestling. Like, I've got a whole lot going for me in my life. I've got a career. I've actually got 2 careers. I'm actually very talented outside of wrestling and in wrestling. But what he was telling me is, save yourself. Don't keep wrestling. Do these other things that you're good at, because all my friends are dead. You know, he says that. All my friends are dead. That was my conversation that's coming from, because he's telling me, like, I care about you. If I had the choice, you wouldn't be in wrestling. Like, he talked about that he wouldn't want his daughter to wrestle, you know, stuff like that.
Right.
But so their editing job and whatever, it was 23 minutes of 3 weeks of footage. So, but definitely, for real, I do not like Brady Malibu. Never. At the very end, I kind of liked Taya because she let her freaking hair down a little, I don't know, or freaking weave. But oh my goodness, it was just like the Canadians just, they blew me away with how backstabby and two-faced they could really be. But Brady Malibu was just a dick the whole time. Like, when we're eating breakfast in the morning and he's giving me shit for eating hash browns, and I just, seriously, I bench press more than the kid weighs. Literally. 155 pounds. The kid was like 145 pounds. And he's like, look at me. Look how cut I am. And I'm like, but you're a midget. I'm like, you're not even as tall as me. You know, so tell me that you look good all you want, but I'm still bigger than you, and I will still kick your ass, you know? And seriously, there was a couple of times that I wanted to just punk him out. I really did. Like, and then Taya was the scene where I'm like, no, we said we were going to go talk to them together, and you're being like, no, this is what I said. That conversation was because originally they were going to give the girls one match, all four of us in one match. But Taya and Spinelli are too big of superstars for that, so they had wanted singles matches because blah, blah, blah. And I was just like, whatever, you guys. And they're like, well, Sam's been wrestling for 10 months, and Taya's been wrestling for 10 months at this point. Taya did other stuff before, whatever. She went and got trained with Lance Storm, so she does have training. She knows how to wrestle. But she's not as good as she thinks she is, and she certainly isn't more experienced than me. That's just all there is to it. I had been wrestling for 4 freaking years, whatever, 5, 6, I don't even know how long now. I mean, literally, I've been wrestling on shows longer than they've even been training. So, I mean, Casey Spinelli sat in the crowd at TCW and watched me wrestle while she was still training. So she just out of nowhere decides to be like, you have no legitimate training. And I'm like, are you kidding me? And so that part, that was real. When Spinelli's being like, whatever, trying to talk to me like she's my trainer, which on the show she was, I guess. But I mean, it's just really hard for me to have Casey Spinelli, this girl that was so excited to get to wrestle me the first time she wrestled me, trying to, like, make me look bad on television. And I'm like, no, you're not going to put yourself over on me. You know? And, yes, I did say I've been places. What I said was I've been places where people's opinions matter, and they tell me this is what I'm good at. Because they're like, oh, well, this is what you need to be doing. And I'm like, no. This is what I need to be doing because this is what people tell me I'm good at. You know, like, I'm not a freaking brawler, obviously, because I don't like to hit people. Oh, yeah. Oh, my gosh. I can't believe I didn't even talk about this yet. Yes, I suck at forearms, okay? I don't like to hit people.
Good.
I don't like to hit people, and I especially don't like to hit people with broken necks who are 60 years old. Or however old he is. I'm just saying, Roddy Piper is on this show, while they're making me hit him over and over, he has a broken neck.
Right.
Like, it's got to be documented somewhere that he had surgery after the show. But as a massage therapist, here's me, the massage therapist, you know, healing everybody, and they're making me hit this man who I respect and look at as a freaking father figure, and they're making me hit him over and over again with a broken neck.
When you say they didn't want you to hit him, it was really Roddy going, hit me, hit me, hit me.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. And it was insane. It was like, please don't make me do it, Mr. Piper. Seriously, I grab his face, and I'm like, please don't make me do it again.
Yeah.
You know,
I just watched the episode just right before this show started, and he was very intense while you guys were doing your workout in the ring. I mean, I can't imagine how intimidating it would be when he's screaming at you to hit him, and like you say, you have your reasons why you don't want to, which I don't think anybody would want to hit Roddy.
Yeah, exactly. And then what I mean by when I say that they wanted us to do stuff that we weren't comfortable with, like, they've got me and Sam doing leapfrogs and drop kicks and all this stuff. Well, Sam doesn't do leapfrogs and drop kicks, so it doesn't make any sense for us to be doing leapfrogs and drop kicks. So the salt that they came up with us for us to do wasn't what we should have been doing. No wonder it looked like shit. But if you, when you watch it, he's yelling at Sam, not me. They're trying to make me look like I'm a shitty wrestler, but he's yelling at her, get up, drop kick her ass, leapfrog her, you know, pin her. He's yelling at Sam, not me. And so they're using this footage, and, you know, it's supposed to be shitting on my wrestling, but I'm right there with her, keeping up, you know. I don't really have an issue with, like, my in-ring cardio. I've never been the person that's so blown up that they're puking on the edge of the freaking ring like Cole Bishop did. Freaking, I don't even know how many people I know that have gotten so blown up in matches that they're like, put me in a rest hold. I've never had to do that. And the women generally go faster and at a more higher, you know, higher pace than the guys do. It's not like I'm coming back sucking wind.
I wanted to go back to Casey real quick, because Casey was on the first episode, first series, and kind of had, I don't want to say, she kind of had a different attitude on the second show. Now, she was an assistant trainer. Do you think she was like kind of pretty much told, this is, you're going to go in there and act like you're the biggest star in the world, and they kind of just had her, she kind of knew to be in character and just she was going with it, or do you think she's kind of changed since you've known her?
Do you mean did she grow a giant ego? Because, that's exactly what happened.
They might have put her up to that? I mean, you know, because she had...
Absolutely not. No, absolutely not. And, in fact, the production people, like, took notice to the fact that she was being all divified. Like, it really was, I don't know. You guys, I'm just going to be honest. I used to really like Casey Spinelli. She was a really good friend of mine. And when we went and did World of Hurt, she did not treat me like a friend. And she took advantage of me. And she just, like, whatever. Money was an issue up there for everybody. I happen to make really good money and can take care of myself and have a career, unlike most of them. And I basically ended up paying almost $3,000 while I was up there for everything. I paid for the hotel room that Cole Bishop and I stayed in the entire time we were there. He, Sam and him both gave me money the very first week that we were there, and I did not see any money after that. But I'm too nice of a person to let people go without, so I pretty much provided for whoever, and I was the only person who had a car there, so I drove everybody around, I took us to the gym, I paid for, you know, passes and stuff like that so that we could go and do things and made sure people didn't starve. You know, like, in reality, I did a lot for the other people on that show, and I did not get any sort of, not even respect, just not disrespect. You know what I mean? In return. If anything, I lost a lot of friends coming out of World of Hurt. That's what I felt like. Because, I mean, now I don't really even talk to any of them. And as far as I know, they just all bash me up there now.
Have you thought about possibly, there's some really good all women's organizations back east. Have you thought about maybe getting in with Shine or Shimmer or anything like that?
Yeah, I mean, I've definitely wanted to. I have a manager, or had a manager. The prick quit on me, but he was supposed to be working on that, you know? Like, I pretty much have an open invitation that if I move to the East Coast, there's a few different companies that will book me and that I can be a part of. But it's just about, you know, like, to get into Shimmer, you have to fly yourself out there and be on Sparkle unless the owner himself gets a hold of you, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's just like the trip that I'm doing coming up, that's something that I'm paying for. I'm paying to haul myself out to the East Coast so that I can go and train at OVW. And I'm taking a seminar with Vader and hopefully going to be getting looked at by some people that that have connections in Japan. It's never been my goal to go to Japan, but the opportunity has presented itself, and who knows, maybe I'll learn to forearm people real good over there.
At least harder, right?
Yeah. Well, from what I understand, Christopher Ryzik says that I forearm plenty hard, so.
he's used to wrestling Brian Alvarez, so, you know. I'm sure he doesn't get forearmed very hard for those little midgets.
Yeah, no. Actually, you know, I don't want to sound, you know, like I don't know what's going on or anything, but I actually thought I was going to be talking with Brian and Vinny today. I didn't really know exactly what I was doing today.
Oh, that's my bad.
Oh, no, it's actually not your bad, because I replied to your message only getting part of the message. I'm not online, like I said. So when I got your message, I just got a partial text message on my phone through Facebook. And so I just said yes. And I was like, of course I want to do it.
Well, we're actually not an official show on Brian's website. We're kind of like the redheaded stepchild of the website.
That's right.
We're not official, but we basically get plugged by them. We promote our show on the site. We do everything. It's just like we're a show on the site, except that Brian doesn't pay us.
That's right.
Oh, well, I was hoping to get to talk to him because my trip coming up, I'm going back to OVW, and I used to train with Buddy Wayne, and Buddy Wayne is really close with Rick Rogers, one of the trainers at OVW, and I know that Brian and Buddy used to be really close, or probably are still really close, so I was hoping to get to chat with him, but I'll just send him a text message and get a hold of him on my own.
If you're looking for Buddy, just send me a text. I can get you to him.
Awesome. That would be wonderful.
Yeah, no worries.
What is the thing about going to OVW is they have a working agreement with TNA. So, I mean, maybe you could even, with any luck, be like the dominant knockout on TNA.
Well, exactly. And, you know, as I've gone through my wrestling career, I guess, not really sure what to call it, but I've often thought that I would be a better knockout than a diva. That's probably the best way that I can explain it. I just feel like they have a more diverse women's division, and even if I'm not able to get to, you know, 10% body fat or whatever the girls on television and on WWE are, I do think that I could fit in at TNA, and I just have always kind of thought that I might like it there.
Yeah, I mean, they got Awesome Kong over big time, so, I mean, it's not like they're not dependent on the skinny little bikini models like WWE, so, I mean, I could see where someone with a little size could actually go in there and become, like I say, the dominant knockout there.
Yeah, definitely. Well, and see, that's kind of been my problem. I don't know. I put on muscle really easily, and I'm trying not to put on too much muscle because when I put on a lot of muscle, I gain weight. And so, I mean, muscle weighs more than fat. We all know that. But right now I am 26% body fat, according to my personal trainer. According to my, you know, body fat measuring whatever caliper thing, I would be 155 pounds if I were lean, you know, like I think it's like something like 17% body fat or something like that. 155 pounds. That's like more than most of those girls weigh when they're not, you know, trying to be skinny or whatever. But either way, it's still a big chick, you know. And so I've often been told that I'm too small to be a big girl, but I'm too big to be a small girl. So I don't really fit in too well.
Now, well, one of the other things you kind of made some news on Brian's website is that you went to Super Channel Buffet Day, like Craig mentioned earlier, and you got to meet Granny. And the first time that I ever heard your name was quite a while back on one of the, she was on Brian's show, and she mentioned that they were talking about one of the Tulalip shows, and Granny was talking about how they like to give you hell. She said, we like to give Lila hell. And how did you enjoy meeting Granny for the first time?
Oh, she was so dang cute. I didn't really know what to expect because I'd only heard her voice. And at first, because she'll tell the truth, you know, she'll shoot, you know. So I'm like, oh, I hope Granny doesn't tell me I'm a crummy wrestler, you know, or anything like that. But, no, she was so adorable. And I had just listened to a couple of podcasts where she was on there so that I could, you know, have conversation to ask Granny about and stuff like that. So it was really exciting. I think I was more excited to meet her than she was me. She didn't really know who I was at first. Maybe she didn't recognize me because I wasn't so fat.
I'm glad you said that.
Well, the funny part was, I was like, man, I'm trying to show these guys that I'm not fat, and we're going to go to the Super China Buffet Day. I was like, I want to throw down. But then we actually showed up pretty late, and Dash actually was like, man, I could have eaten more, but I didn't want to be the only guy sitting around eating while everybody was ready to leave. But that's why he got the big thing. He got the quart of ice cream at the Old Stone. Yeah. He ate that whole thing that day and the rest of my pint. You guys believe that?
Good for him.
That's a lot of ice cream.
Dash has, like, totally changed his whole body in the last, like, 2 years. He looks great.
No, it's true. I mean, I will give him full credit for everything that I've been able to accomplish in wrestling and in my weight loss, because if it wasn't for him, I would have never really understood wrestling, and I would have never probably known how to change my body the way I have. That's the thing. Like, I don't know what the other ones are, but either way, I've always been an endomorph body shape. I don't know if you guys know what I'm talking about, but either way,
not really.
Now I'm like an ectomorph. I can't remember what the thing is. Either way, I legitimately changed my body shape because now my waist is smaller than my hips for the first time in my life. So that's so awesome to be able to say.
That's good.
Like when we first got together, Dash always would tease me and call me. He called me no ass is what he called me because I had no ass. But then as I've been working out and getting in shape, now I've got some booty, you know, and so I'm like, what? I have a waist? I have hips? No way.
That's pretty cool. One of the things I wanted to ask before we let you go is, I know you work for Tulalip a lot. Were you there when they had to heist and hijack all the money?
I was there, and it was actually Kellen Race's dad that went and, like, tracked the guy down and got the money back.
That's right.
So you're talking about when somebody stole all the ticket money, right?
Yeah, they stole the money and jumped in a van and took off, and Caden, jumped in the car and chased after them?
Yeah, Caden and Kellen Race's father chased them down and got that money back. That's a real story. That's true.
Yeah.
Did you know what was going on as it was happening, or did you, like, find out after the fact? And what was your thoughts on, like, the fact that some knuckleheads would try and do that?
Well, Caden's wife is my friend, and so it happened to her, basically, because she's the one that runs it, and so she was so upset. So I knew while it was happening because I was trying to comfort her, you know. She was afraid that somebody was going to be angry with her or something. You know, and so it was like I was sitting there with her just waiting to see what was going to happen. I mean, Caden just took off. Obviously, she's worried about her husband, you know, so it was really scary, actually.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty, a crazy story.
Well, and it's pretty ballsy of whoever was the guy that did it. I mean, you've got a freaking building full of wrestlers I wouldn't mess with.
A building full of wrestlers and a security camera right in front of them.
Yeah,
true that.
I don't think it was ballsy. I think it was more stupidity on the on their part. But But it's real cool that, you know, Kane was able to get some money back. I think part of the story is when he caught up to the guys, the police finally showed up and they actually drew their guns on Kane and think it was Kane was the criminal. But luckily,
wow,
everything worked out on that.
That's just so crazy. Yeah. Well, and after World of Hurt, I took time off. Like, Roddy Piper told me, he did tell me that I should walk away, but, mm-hmm, you know, and he says, and if you're thinking, don't come back or whatever. That's because, you know, he was telling me I should take some time off, work on my body, don't get back in the ring until you look the part, you know, because otherwise you're just giving people ammo to talk shit about you, to hate on you, you know. Mm-hmm. So when I took my time off after World of Hurt, it wasn't because Roddy Piper told me to quit. It wasn't any of that. And if anything, Roddy Piper told me to quit because he cares about me. So, you know, obviously he didn't tell any of the other people that they should quit because maybe he doesn't give a shit about them. But, I mean...
Oh, go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just going to say that then it turned into that I somehow was blackballed at Tulalip, that the roster refused to wrestle if I was on the show.
I think that's courtesy of Vinny.
Yeah, well, either way, all I know is there were a few guys that, not because of World of Hurt, but because I had thrown the toilet paper at those guys.
I was going to ask you that, or I was thinking about asking you that. No,
it's totally fine.
I'm Facebook friends with a certain performer from the Pacific Northwest, and I kind of saw him online. I asked him, what should I ask? And he brought up, ask her about the toilet paper, and I kind of caused him a scene. And so he asked me not to say who he is because he's kind of a small guy and you would probably kill him. But,
yeah.
But yes, could you talk about what happened? Because I think, if I'm not mistaken, that that caused problems is more than just Layla.
No, this is actually a good thing to talk about. No, in all honesty, that was just kind of a huge misunderstanding. Okay, so I was supposed to wrestle Ryzik, but I was getting ready to leave for Canada, and we showed up at this show, and it's in a biker bar, and I'm like, I don't really feel safe here. There's a bunch of drunk bikers, and basically I just didn't want to wrestle. I didn't want to be on that show. I didn't feel like it was going to be beneficial for me, even though I was wrestling Ryzik. You know, I just didn't want to risk it, you know. So I didn't wrestle, and Sign Guy took my place, little tiny Sign Guy. I don't know if you guys even know who he is, but he's a tiny little man.
I see him posted on Facebook, but I don't really,
yeah.
I'm not friends with him.
And so he goes in there to have this match with Ryzik, and Ryzik and Dash and some other guys totally talked about the toilet paper. So, and I'm just saying, Dash and his friends showed up before the show even happened, with their toilet paper, fully planning on TP bombing someone because it was a shit show. The show was the shit. Well,
yeah,
we didn't know that it was the Marvelous Matt benefit show. We did not know that Coach Mike Jones had put the name of Marvelous Matt on this show. So
yeah,
when we showed up and saw that it was a biker bar and were basically insulted that we were wrestling there, then find out that it's Marvelous Matt benefit show. So then it was like, man, you're not really giving any... Oh, okay, so gotta... Okay. We're going through the show, whatever. Yes, we TP'd Ryzik and Sign Guy. Nobody was mad. Well, so then we go to the back, and Coach is handing out $20 bills to rookies and idiots that are wrestling on this show. And we're like, what the hell, man? If this is a benefit show, you should be giving that money to Matt's family. Like...
Mm-hmm.
Why are you giving anybody money at all? This is a benefit show. Plus, it's an illegal show, and that's why Coach had to call it a benefit show, so that he could run his illegal show. It wasn't on a reservation. It was in this frickin' biker bar. Well, and
that means no commission was involved.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Basically, while we were in the back arguing with Coach or whatever, me and Dash and myself, someone else, fans, well, actually, I'll just put them on blast right now. John and Emily, who come to all the shows and stuff, had thrown toilet paper at somebody's match, unbeknownst to me or Dash or anybody. Well, so then, after the whole thing in the back happened where we're like, Coach, you're scum, you know, or whatever. And that's not the first time I've told Coach that I didn't like him. He tried to rip us off on ring rental one time, and I punked out Coach. So I'm not scared to yell at Coach. And basically, there was this guy named whatever. I don't even want to give him the publicity. There's this guy that has been harassing me for years who showed up at the show, and I thought that he was in the ring reffing. So Ryzik, him, he won't admit it, but Ryzik and two other guys and then me also threw toilet paper in this match. And I realized that the ref wasn't the guy that I thought it was. So I stopped throwing the toilet paper and was like, oopsie, into somebody's camera and was like, oh, well, these guys are the shits anyway. Well, so they got all mad. Well, one of the guys, his name's Keith Adkins, got out of the ring, and he actually grabbed me by the hair, and he was pissed. They were pissed that we had TP'd their match. But he grabbed me by the hair, and he said, knock it up off before I knock you out. And I was like, really? I was like, seriously? You really just assaulted me and now are threatening me? So, of course, I went and got Dash. And then, of course, Dash got angry. And Dash Venture is not a guy to mess with. So, you know, he interrupted their match and went in there and, you know, punked the guy out. Well, basically, the guy didn't even get punched, so he should be happy. But everybody freaked out, and then Dash was going to beat some people up, and so the cops kicked us out. We got booted. Well, I'm running around trying to find all of our shit, you know, and Dash had thrown Keith's bag across the locker room, and all this stuff happened. I'm looking for our belts. Dash, you know, loves belts. I don't know if you guys have ever seen it, but he does this thing, belts and belts. Well, so he had brought all of our belts, including, like, the TCW tag belts and the, it was the, I don't remember what the company was called. It's called this Universal title, and the guys at DOA own it now. It was Portland Wrestling down there that was Bobby Payne's or whatever. I'm running around getting all the belts, and the only belts that I knew about were the Pinnacle belt, the TCW belts, and the whatever, SCW belt. So I'm running around getting all the belts. Well, meanwhile, somebody hid one of our belts from us. It was this Universal title, and now neither one of us are booked down to DOA, and everybody hates us, and that's half of the TCW locker room because they think that we stole this belt. But it got stolen at this Marvelous Matt show where we TP'd, you know, matches. Basically, yes, I threw the toilet paper, but it was because I found out that Matt's family was not getting any of this money and that they had left with no money, and I was angry. And, yeah, I shouldn't have done it, but whatever. It was in protest of the show. The show was illegal, and I didn't think that anybody was going to freak out the way they did. And it was actually Santiago, Mike Santiago, who was supposed to be my friend, who's my friend now, who freaked out because we had been disrespectful at Marvelous Matt Benefit Show. And it was like, dude, his family was already gone, and his family got ripped off. So, you know, him being all upset and freaking out and telling me he hates me and running me down and saying that I'm not a good wrestler and all this stuff. And now everything's cool. So that's it.
Wow. Well, I'm glad I did ask the question. I wasn't too sure of if I should or not. But that was actually a great story.
No, I have nothing to hide, honestly. I mean, everything that I've ever done in wrestling that people, like, got mad about or whatever, I mean, do you want to ask me about the shoe incident? Do you know about that?
No, but feel free to tell us.
Oh, well, because I beat this girl with shoes once, but I didn't really beat her. It was like, if you watch the video, I'm, like, flailing around, slapping her with these wrestling shoes, and they're, like, nothing. But basically, the beatdown was planned. Annie comes out and puts her in a full Nelson, and anybody who knows Annie knows that she doesn't know how to wrestle at all. she had to learn how to be put into a full Nelson before the match could even start. So, you know it was planned because the girl freaking runs in and holds her. I mean, come on. But before the match, or when we went, okay, I got to start over. When we went to Florida, SCW had a show. They quote-unquote stripped me of my title, even though I own the freaking belt, and then she never had a belt at all. They gave her a men's tag belt to hold for one show. So I come back, and she's supposed to drop the belt to me, right? Well, she refuses. She's like, it's my time. Lila's been champion long enough, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, are you serious? This isn't real. I will kick your ass right now. You know, because she's like, totally got this ego. And then, I'm talking about Cammy O'Connor right now. This is this chick that I wrestled at Tulalip a few times. And she literally came to maybe 12 to 15 training sessions and then stopped coming to training. And she learned enough to wrestle me, but not enough to wrestle anybody else because I was the only person she trained with. So she tried to have a match with Casey Spinelli. She put her hand down on a Samoan drop and broke her wrist. Well, she blamed Casey for that. She blamed Casey for breaking her wrist, and which is completely disrespectful and whatever. Or, I mean, what she did was disrespectful later. So she refused to drop the title to me. It was me, her, and Casey in a triple threat. She wore this wrist brace because she was being disrespectful to Casey and being like, I can't wrestle you unless I have this wrist brace because you broke my wrist. Well, it was her fault for not moving her post, and then she basically almost broke her wrist on the Samoan again in the match. But at one point, she goes to run at me in the corner, and she hits me. You remember how I told you I got my orbital socket broken when I was in Florida? Well, I still had a broken orbital socket that was still healing, but I was going to have this match and whatever. She hits me right in the face, right where I'm hurt, with this metal brace, and my eye busted open. I bled out my eye while during the match. I legit started crying during the match. Finished the match, did everything that I was supposed to do. Yes, there was one knee drop where you can tell that I slip and you can see us ice skating around on the ring because it's an outdoor show and it was just ridiculous. Yeah, I gave her 3 sentons and beat her with the shoes, but it was all planned and you can tell that it was planned. And but a lot of people tell me it was the most, like, it was the best they've ever seen me because I was legitimately angry. So... So that's the shoe incident. Oh, gosh, guys.
So, we've actually kind of like double shot the time we were actually shooting for, so I'll let Craig start to wrap up.
Okay. I'm sorry that I talked for so long.
It's been great.
Hey, plug the next shows you got coming up.
I am wrestling in a cage at SCW this Saturday, the 29th, in Poulsbo, Washington. Show starts at 7. And then
cool.
That's my last show before I head off to OVW.
Nice. Okay.
Cool. I have just one quick little question before we let you go. And that is that Vinny really is a better wrestler than Brian Alvarez, isn't he?
What? I love his gear.
I'll give Vinny that. Vinny does have the greatest gear in the world.
Oh, goodness. Oh, you guys, thanks so much for having me. I'm sorry that I, like, used up your entire hour. I don't know if you guys had anything else you needed to talk about.
I'm sorry we're not Brian and Vinny.
No, you stop. No, just so that I know, so I can tell Dash what I did tonight and where he can find you guys, what am I looking for from when to hear this?
Over the Top Radio. And if he's a member of Brian's site, he just got to go to the radio section and he'll see a thread for it.
It's actually
I also
on
posted
your page, too.
Yeah, I put a link on my Facebook, and I tagged your name on it, so it should be on your page, too. You can just look at your page.
Excellent.
And it shouldn't be too hard to find. If you have any more problems, just contact Craig, and he'll get you a link.
I,
Awesome. Thank you so much, you guys. I hope I didn't talk your guys' ear off too much.
Oh, no, it was a great interview. We're very happy that you joined us, and thank you so much for giving us more time than we had originally planned for. I mean, I thought it went great.
Awesome. Thanks so much, you guys. Talk to you later.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Cool. That was actually a very, very fun interview. And our other co-host has returned to the show, so let me get him back on the air. Katrina, are you there?
Fuck the World of Hurt show. Why don't they get a show following her around? She has a much more exciting life.
Well, the show, I watched your show before we started. Well, actually, I was still watching it as the theme music was playing, but it's actually a very entertaining show. It's making me want to go look and find the other episodes for the season.
Well, I mean, she has much better stories in her real life than fucking World of Hurt.
Yeah. Much more. She's a really cool chick. I mean, she's really sweet, and unfortunately, she's kind of gotten a bad rap around the Pacific Northwest from some people. But she's a really sweet girl, and she tries really hard. So,
any chick that curses is okay with me.
you can't discredit her.
She's losing weight, but she's still, you know, she's kind of one of those big bone girls, real thick and. But she has a very beautiful face, I think. I mean, I think
she's real pretty.
I think she's pretty hot myself, actually.
Yeah.
We think I'm hot.
She's probably, I bet she's dropped about 35 pounds, I bet. She looks really good. I mean, yeah, she looks good. And I think if she has the drive that she says she does, she's going to go far. So I hope that I hope the future is kind to her and Dash.
All I know is if I could make it back up there to Seattle again for maybe either like a Super China Buffet Day or something, or tag along with Rodney or something, I'm definitely going to go get me a massage from her.
Dash is a really cool guy. He was listening to Brian's original radio shows when you were actually calling his house and listening to his voicemail, basically. He was doing news updates back in the day on that. And I won't give you his kayfabe name or anything, but I've known of him for a real long time, and he has gotten into great shape, and he's tearing it up around here. So I hope they do well. I really do.
That's cool. And it was a fun interview, that's for sure. I mean, I quite enjoyed it. But
apparently, she thought you were going to talk to Brian and Vinny.
Well, that's probably my fault. I didn't make it clear. I just
That's why we don't get guests, because Craig tries to trick him into thinking it's Brian and Vinny, and they're like, I don't want to go on those cool show.
Yeah, that's what happened.
Right? My brother's probably didn't show up this week. He's like, I want to be interviewed by Brian Alvarez.
I'm sure we'll hear about this in an update this weekend or something.
I'm sure.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure it'll have the guys that names start with a C and my name will be left off. In fact, I had to check something because I knew Brian was going on his trip, so I might have just sent the info for the plug today to Dave, but if I sent it to both of them, you know he was being a little bitch because we got her on before, and that's why he didn't add us to the update today.
Mm. Well, we got about 15 minutes of time left. You want to go over some news?
Well, sure. We got 15 minutes of live after. That doesn't mean we have to stop.
Well, okay. You could ruin all my evening if you want. That's fine. I'll start off with the big news.
Your evening would be in ruin just doing the show during the normal time slot?
Well, it's Friday night, for crying out loud.
No, you're married. You ain't got nothing to do.
Oh, yeah.
Your wife can go somewhere.
I gotta give Brian a break. I only sent it to Dave.
There you go.
But I could see him doing that. I could see him doing that.
Well, why wouldn't he? He loves to mess with you. Mm-hmm. Anyway, big news of the week was John Cena injured. John Cena underwent elbow surgery in Birmingham, Alabama, under Dr. James Andrews on Tuesday. He
He had orthoscopic surgery to remove bone chips in his elbow. He's expected to be out 4 to 6 weeks. This will also enable him to have time off to heal his bad ankle and other assorted injuries he's been working with. And crushing my little son's dreams of seeing John Cena live, which is going to be October 5th in Everett, Washington. And his daddy procured second row seats. And now John Cena will not be there. And you should have seen his little lip stick out. And he got so sad when I told him that John Cena was hurt and wasn't going to be there.
Now you're saying this, but I know when you saw in the news that your lip was even more out. And you were even more sad because of all the money you spent.
Yeah, I don't want to talk about that. My wife might actually listen to the show and find out how much money I spent on tickets. Actually, she's going to find out when she actually gets it.
Big Show's replacement,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, the original plan was Cena and Big Show in a cage, and as of yesterday, it said Cena and CM Punk in a cage, so insert Big Show in the case of John Cena, and there you have the match for the house shows.
He's lucky they got such a long time for the next pay-per-view.
Right.
5 more weeks till the next pay-per-view, which I think it's a canceled a pay-per-view or something, huh? That what they did?
I think so.
It's because there's this weekend, there's 1 more weekend in this month, and then it's the last week of next month. So it's still technically a pay-per-view of a month.
Well, last year
there was 2 weeks apart, wasn't it?
Yeah, there were literally 2 weeks apart last year. And
I think last year was a leap year or something, screwed everything up.
Sure. Anyway, long story short, they took out one pay-per-view. I think they switched from, 14 to... No, wait, that was UFC. I think they switched from 16 to 14 or something like that this year.
Mm-hmm. It's better. I mean, I think it's better. And the UFC should, UFC should follow suit and cancel about 10 shows.
Yeah, they should, actually. In other news, Jerry Lawler has returned to Memphis, as seen on Raw. He returned home to Memphis on Monday, and he will be doing an interview next Monday on Raw via satellite.
Did you see the press conference or any of that footage?
I did not.
He's got, the coolest-looking house. He's got, Coca-Cola stuff all over his bedroom house. He's got a throne he's sitting in. He's collecting Coca-Cola stuff. Pretty
yeah. My dad's actually got a 1950s Coke machine that you actually open it up and it's open water in there, and there's a cooler in there, and you actually pull the pop bottles out of.
I used to love those Cokes out of the glass bottles. For some reason, they just taste it better. There was cooler to drink.
I'll tell you why that is, because they actually have pure cane sugar in them instead of high fructose corn syrup. That's why they're better.
They get the legal Coca-Colas at the Heart Attack Grill here in Dallas. Like the black market Coca-Colas with all the sugar or something.
You got HEBs up in Dallas, right?
Go what?
HEBs.
ATV? Yeah, they got all
the HEB groceries. They sell the Coke and Sprite there at HEB.
I go to Walmart and I don't pay attention to nobody else.
Costco has them as well. So.
Yeah.
Yep.
And then I'm sure you have all the little taco trucks that drive around. A lot of those carry the Coke and Sprite, too.
Huh. Like I said,
I don't know if you guys get the taco trucks like we have in San Antonio, but till Friday, Saturday night, and every corner down the street, there's a taco truck.
Probably not the quality, but we have taco trucks around here, too. So probably not the quality.
I've never seen a taco truck.
Kidding me.
No.
You get like 5 tacos for $4. They're freaking awesome.
Oh, goodness. ROH had a pay-per-view last
Are you
sure
they had a pay-per-view last night? Because apparently some people didn't see it.
They had an iPay-per-view, and I will skip all the main details of it. Basically, I was one of the very few that got to see about 75% of the thing. Their feed was all messed up. I was actually watching on my iPad, so I don't know if that was the quick fix or not, but they had problems all night. Mine actually shut down on me as the main event was going on, and I had some trouble getting on at first, but I didn't have a ton of problems. But
I think the main issue was people had to adjust their speed settings, and that would have helped. But I guess, you know, I'm sure a lot of people didn't know to do that.
Right. And it's too bad because the show itself was actually pretty good. In fact, good. And because of the technical issues that they had, it came off as a lot of people really dumping on the pay-per-view, and I don't think that was fair. The lineup was as follows. Steve Corino and Jimmy Jacobs defeated Caprice Coleman and Cedric Alexander to advance in the title tournament. Tavarius Thomas defeated Silas Young. Kyle O'Reilly defeated ACH. This kid is really good, and I shouldn't say he's really good. He's very indie-rific, but he pulls off great high spots. Charlie Haas and Rhett Titus over the Briscoes to advance in their tag title tournament. Jay Lethal beat Homicide. That was actually a heck of a match. The House of Truth defeated the Irish Airborne. A lot of people hated this match. I really, really liked it. What are you going to do? Adam Cole defeated Mike Mondo to retain the ROH TV title. This match was probably the best thing on the show. Matt Hardy was doing commentary for this match, came in and at the end and congratulated Adam Cole for winning and said, people have called you a young Matt Hardy. And he said, you're not even Matt Hardy. So,
look, how would you want to be that?
Well,
look at all the
anybody can be a drug addict. Come on now. So anyway, look for a match between the two down the road. We had Scum defeating Charlie Haas and Rhett Titus to become the tag team champions. Scum is Steve Corino and Jimmy Jacobs. And in the main event, a hard-hitting main event with Kevin Steen defeating Rhino to retain the ROH title.
I'm at the ROH website. I don't know if you guys are by your computers, but go to ROHwrestling.com.
Sure.
If you would. And I was scrolling down, and on the right side of the page, there's an amazing picture of one of the Briscoes.
Okay. I'm going there now.
You don't know it when you see it. You see it?
Yeah, I see it. Oh, yeah.
My page is still loading.
He is the man. Anyway,
what page is this? ROH.com?
ROHwrestling.com.
Oh, okay. Hold on. I put the wrong.
It's one of the trailers that scrolls across the screen. Anyway, if you're having problems with the pay-per-view, you can do one of two things. You can actually get a refund from them, or you can just wait, and they will send you a DVD of the show. So that's their way of making good on that. So your choice, I guess.
Are you talking about the thing with Mark?
Yeah.
Yeah, that is pretty funny.
I might make that my avatar.
Somebody needs to buy that boy some teeth.
He's a nigga got two teeth right in his head. Anyway, I was already on the site because I was going to do my moron of the week, and I'll say that I'm not a, you know, I don't follow Ring of Honor. I just, you know, read about it, and you know, when they report on it and stuff like this, and but I was reading this this column by Patrick Edwards on here on this ROHwrestling.com. I don't know if anybody read this week.
By Eddie Edwards?
No, by Patrick Edwards.
Oh, Patrick. I don't know who that is.
He does something called the Sidewalk Slam and column, and just let me read this, and then I'll say what I got to say. Said, this past Saturday, Death Before Dishonor, PNI pay-per-view took place live from Chicago, and albeit there be some issues at the start of the broadcast, everything came together quickly and resulted in an awesome show of ROH Wrestling Action that I must admit was that I was very impressed at how ROH has made the bold choice to take their live stream my pay-per-views into their own hands by producing it themselves as Holocaust in order to deliver a significantly better end product to the fans. It speaks volumes that ROH tries to and pulls out all the stops, caring about the fans to bring us the very best wrestling product possible. When you produce a live show, it's never perfect. There's always a margin for unexpected production concern. But ROH proves loyal to produce the quality consistent broadcast for the fans. As a fan, it's nice to see that ROH remains committed to not let the fan down. We'll always go right by the fans. Takes up providing free copies of a Death Before Dishonor DVD or the right to a full refund of, for the majority of the show that you missed. But understanding this, let's turn the page and ignore negative comments by colonists out there with an axe to grind that make their living by slamming everything in their path. Well, that's true to some extent. Instead, take a positive approach and don't let a few setbacks or gossip publications alter your opinion of ROH. There will be more fantastic pay-per-views, and the ROH product is the best around if something doesn't go wrong. he's got this analogy here. He said, look at it this way. How many times has your smartphone just turned itself off and rebooted for no reason? Does this happening change your opinion of the phone now that it now has 100 more features than your last phone? Do you stop using smartphones? No. You wait for the fix and appreciate the technology that belongs to your phone. Technology isn't perfect, but it does continuously improve. Well, I don't try watching pay-per-views on my phone. And if I was watching a pay-per-view I paid for on my phone and it died, I would be pissed off.
Yeah.
I felt this was a slap in the face to anybody that bought that show. It's kind of, eh.
Yeah. Wow.
I thought this was a bad column.
And that was the moron of the week.
Yes.
Yeah, sounds like it. But
well,
it's
kind of comes off acting like, oh, everything's great. Yeah, we had this little glitch, but, you know, everything's hunky-dory.
Yeah.
You know, you're totally right about that. I mean, he's very hypocritical, condescending, whatever you want to say. But he is kind of right about one thing, because we've been to a bunch of these IP pay-per-views or pay-per-view tapings, and we've had fire alarms go off that's caused almost an hour delay. We've seen Adam Pearce lose his fucking mind during a match. We've seen Jim Cornette lose his mind during a match. We've seen Adam Cole and Kyle O'Reilly be put on the spot and have to cut fucking a half-hour promo just
in the middle
out
of the match.
You know, we've seen so many. We've seen David Lagana want to beat the shit out of the sound guy. You know.
Happy birthday, Dave.
Yeah, shit happens, unfortunately. And, you know, unfortunately, they're in a position where they can't really blame anybody but themselves. And then this guy's writing this article where he's not taking any blame whatsoever. But, I mean, shit happens. It's just that it's just such bad luck that it sucks that it has happened to ROH, because it's just some shitty-ass bad luck that keeps happening. Because when you really watch their product, it's a good product. I mean, they're low on quality names with talent now, but it's still they still put on good shows. They still have good matches, you know, but it's just shit just is not going their way right now, and hasn't been for like a year, maybe more.
Yeah, I just think, you know, obviously stuff happens, I understand. I just think, you know, they're owned by like a TV company. You think they could do something to, you know, stop this from happening. I mean, I don't hear anything bad about like the Jakar or Dragon's Gate shows, stuff like that happening.
Yeah.
They've had probably more pay-per-views than they have, so, you know.
Real quick, let me get out the plug. Everyone check out AngryMarks.com. You can always download and stream our show at AngryMarks.com, along with a lot of other shows like the Angry Marks show and a whole bunch of other shows. So AngryMarks.com. You can always check us out at blogtalkradio.com/Contrere. And you can also find older episodes at blogtalkradio.com/Edward-Laredo. And once again, Angry Marks has every show we've pretty much ever done on their archive. So we got a minute left, but I'm sure we have a couple more topics. So I'm game to stay a little longer. I mean, if you want to jet, Craig, that's fine. But I mean, you know.
No. I'll for exclusive content for our downloading, we will talk about Tammy Cinch here in the next few minutes. So. Come back and check out our exclusive content on download only.
In my review of The People versus George Lucas.
Okay. We have an update on the Tammy Cinch arrest.
Shortly after being jailed in Connecticut, Tammy Cinch took to her Facebook page and wrote, "Cheat on a woman, you get choked out." Cinch also wrote that she was contacted by the Dr. Phil show to, quote-unquote, tell her story, and followed it up with, "Decisions, decisions." Cinch would later remove that statement and ask everyone for privacy regarding the domestic issues last week with independent wrestler Damian Darling, which led to her being arrested 3 times in 3 days. Cinch also publicly went to Darling's Facebook page, writing that she still loves him. Cinch was released into her sister's care, as stated in the court of Connecticut, that she would be heading right to rehab after a rehab facility in New Jersey. The WWE noted that they would continue to support Cinch, who was last under contract to them in 1998, despite her, quote-unquote, continuing to make poor choices following her most recent rehab stay.
Okay, is that all? Wait, hold on. Is that the whole story that you have?
That's it.
Okay, well, you've missed a few things, something that I actually hate to Dave and Dave reported, but it's not like I was the only one that knew about it. Okay, first off, do we know for a fact that she is in rehab? Okay?
No.
Because, okay, she was supposed to go straight to rehab. Okay, when you go, I've never been to rehab, but when you go to rehab, they don't let you take very much stuff, and what they do let you take, they go through every single damn thing, every crack corner of every suitcase, camera, lipstick, tin, everything you have to make sure you do not have any drugs. They also do not allow you to have a laptop or cell phone or any
mouthwash.
Of that. Okay?
Yeah.
Mouthwash, they're real strict. But yet...
Mm-hmm.
When she posted that statement about leaving him, for the privacy or whatever, that post came the day after she was supposed to be in rehab. She also put up a link for an auction on eBay for one of her WWE outfits. Now, how the hell did she do that from rehab if she went straight to rehab? I'm not saying she's not in rehab right now, but I don't believe that she went straight to rehab after this court case.
We may need to get Irvinchuk on the case.
Right?
I was going to say, if you're having a domestic dispute, don't go apologize to them on Facebook. Everybody and their fucking mother can see it.
Right.
First off,
I don't want to read that crap.
Well, first off, she puts, you know, I forgot exactly what it says, but you cheat, you get choked out, okay?
Yes.
And then she gets upset because people are saying bad shit about him. It's like, hello, what the fuck did you expect?
Yeah.
You know? It's like you're basically telling, and she has a group of Facebook friends that are called minions, which basically is these people basically volunteer to be minions, and by being minions, what they do is they buy shit for her. They spend shit for her. If she gets mad at somebody, she tells the minions to go Facebook and attack this, you know, just call or email. And stuff like she thanked them on her Hall of Fame speech when she was invested.
These are the ones that go and buy her shit from her Amazon wish list.
Yeah,
yes.
I mean they do all kinds of stuff. Well, that's how you become a minion is you have to do like stuff for her like that. I mean, I love Tammy. I'm talking shit about her, but I love Tammy Fitch. But I mean, she's not the only one. Every girl in wrestling has an Amazon wish list, so it's not just Tammy. But you know. What do you expect when you post stuff like that and then you're going to get upset when people say stuff? It's like you brought it on yourself, you know. You brought it on yourself. Nobody would have sent him mean things, you know, because you calmed down a couple hours later and forgave him, you know. And you know, you invited all these people to basically attack, get their nose involved, comment, say shit, and then you're going to be upset about it after the fact. It's like, you brought it on yourself.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I say little on my Facebook. I do the bare minimum on Facebook. Maybe they just discuss stuff with you, like for shows and stuff, or like if I want to post, like a picture or something. That's about as far as my life as anybody's getting. For God.
That's fair.
Yeah.
Well, Facebook can be very entertaining.
It's entertaining.
Like
I don't like it at my expense.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, you're also more intelligent than most, Tammy Cinches.
That's true.
But I felt bad because, I was one of her biggest fans. I mean, I still, when I met her, she was the sweetest person in the world to me. You know, she was so cool. And I don't want to say anything bad, but it's like, you know, it's like there comes a point in time, when you can't be nice to people. You got to straight out tell them how it is. And I've lost one of my best friends that I grew up with. We had this love-hate relationship that we're maybe friends for maybe a few weeks every couple years because he can't handle the fact that I tell him to his face when he's fucking up and being a fucking dumbass and doing stupid shit. And he doesn't want to hear it. So we go through long periods because I'm not going to sugarcoat it. I'm not going to fucking, what do you call it?
Enable?
You know, I'm not going to enable his ass. I'm going to tell him straight out, you're fucking up. Get your fucking head out of your ass. And if I'm saying that to somebody, you know it's, you know, you're going to have more issues than me. So, you know what I mean? So it's like, you can't be nice all the time. You got to straight out end up telling someone, look, Cammy, get fucking help. Get your shit together. Be your own damn woman for a change. You don't have to rely on fucking guys. You don't have to fucking depend on fucking the cop or this dude or whatever. Fucking live your own fucking life. You know what I mean? Just be your own woman. If people can function by themselves, they don't need a partner. It's like that's where all your problems come from. So get that out of your life and maybe, you know, be single and enjoy life and maybe you'll actually do something, you know. I mean, hopefully, you know.
That's why I only depend on myself. I don't care about nobody else. Not really. I'm just kidding. I got a dog on.
Okay. Nice rant, Ed. Let's finish up the show. Contrere.
Yes.
What? People versus, what'd you say?
Oh, George Lucas? I watched this is on Netflix, and if you hadn't seen it, if you're like a fan of Star Wars or something, you should definitely check it out. It's like, it's called The People versus George Lucas. It's a documentary about, you know, Star Wars fans and, you know, their little flip outs whenever old George, you know, he changes something in a film. It's like your childhood has been ruined or some bullshit like that.
I felt raped when he made Guido shoot first.
I know, man. I mean, that's like so many years of my childhood. I just cannot go back and relive because Guido, because Han shot first.
Yeah.
And he shot from such a short distance he couldn't hit him. He's just a horrible shot. You know. I've been in a rehab myself a couple of times through that one. But anyway. It's just me. I'm a huge Star Wars fan. I love Star Wars. And, you know, I know a lot about it, like stories and everything. I read the books and stuff like that. But I guess I don't get into it. I don't have, like, every room in my house. I don't have one room dedicated to the Mos Eisley Cantina. I don't have another room dedicated to the Wampa's Ice Cave. I don't have another room dedicated to Dagobah or some bullshit like that. You know, I just enjoy watching the movies and stuff like that. And
right.
And so they got all these fans in there, and they got this one woman. Just like, it's, you know, it's like they got these people. Every time something Star Wars comes out, they got to buy it. It don't matter if what it is. It doesn't matter if it's something they're going to watch or even take out of the package. They just have to have it, no matter what. And they get this woman, she looks like a Star Wars hoarder. You know, she
I've seen this.
She had all this Star Wars shit in her house, and she says, "And my husband left me over." And I said, "You fat pig! You're gonna blame fucking George Lucas for that shit? Your husband left you. You bought too much Star Wars crap.
Right?
You need to go on that AMA show where they come and clean your shit out.
You know,
move on. Then you got this French guy, I don't know, he partly booed for all the fried eggs or something, and he says, the only reason VHS still exists is because of the originals and not on DVD. Go buy your ass a DVD recorder, you French faggot. Shit. Pardon my language.
Well, French people suck, so I don't blame you.
Go buy a DVD recorder. Expect George Lucas and the company to put it out for you, and you can go do it. I bought the
originals on eBay. Somebody had put them on DVD. I bought them on eBay like 6 years ago or something like that. So, mm-hmm. I mean, you know, it was like all these people would, like wrestling fans, you know, they said, oh, man, I wish they'd put out all this old stuff. And I said, go get into your internet browser, type in ioffer.com, go to ioffer.com, type in whatever you want. Do you want the whole year set of 1985 WCW Saturday Night? You can go buy that for about $12. You know, it's just blazing. It's like the same thing I think people when, you know, like when they got these people that only flip out when a movie gets remade. Like, oh, my God, I'm not looking forward to it. I wish this would not happen. And I said, what does it bother you? Don't watch the damn thing. You always have your copy to watch, the original, whatever. I mean, I love remade movies. I just like seeing, you know, really good stuff remade. That's just me. I like stuff like that.
Well, like me, I'm the biggest Battlestar Galactica fan, and all the Battlestar Galactica fans, that like old-time fans like me, I think I was the only one that didn't have a shit when they found out that Starbuck was going to be a girl. You know?
Oh, gosh.
I know a lot of people maybe enjoy, like when they remade the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, you know, a few years ago. Because I was a big fan of that. I'm saying, okay, this is cool. It's like the original story, but it's just like being like a remake, you know, for the audience now. Or, you know, I just like seeing different versions of stuff.
You know, all the versions they've made, the first one is still the fucking scariest.
It is, and it doesn't even have any gore in it either.
I know, right? Because they don't make like movies like horror movies like that anymore. You don't need all the gore and all that fucking CG shit. I mean, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I just like stuff like that. If you don't like it, don't watch it. That's just my thing. It's a Star Wars thing. I watched about half of this movie, and then I turned the damn thing off. It's pissing me off so much.
Well, it's like all the wrestling fans on the website who bitch about all the MMA breaking audios, and then they have a breaking audio on John Cena, and they're all like, well, what the fuck do we need a breaking audio for? And it's like, either don't listen to it or be happy and listen to it. It's like, what do you need to waste time going on the board and bitching about? It's like, get a fucking
It's like
life
the MMA already. Thing. People don't, you know, I don't like MMA. It's not that I don't like it, I just don't get into it. But do you think I care that they cover it? I don't give a shit they cover it. I mean, that's where I get most of my MMA notes from. I just don't watch the sport. You know, sometimes that nose is more interesting than watching the fights. So.
Yeah.
And I don't care that they cover it or anything. I don't need one separate show just for wrestling and then one separate show just for MMA. I mean, they're going to sit there and just going to have a conversation about it and it's going to trail off into MMA or movies or pro wrestling or God knows what else.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. This movie just pissed me off and I just had to take some stuff about it.
Have you ever seen Fanboy?
I've heard of it, but I haven't seen it.
Check it out, Couture. You'll love it. It's actually fucking hilarious. It's about like these group of kids. Well, they grew up a little bit, and one of them has cancer, and they want to have, like, one last adventure, so they want to go steal the plans or the rough draft of the first one, the one that kind of sucks. But it's, like, their little adventure, and Seth Rogen comes out in it, and just a bunch of people. It's real cool, man. It's called Fanboy, so check that out. But the last thing I want to talk about before we go is who besides me thoroughly enjoyed the anal raping that Dave Meltzer gave Brian Alvarez on the Wednesday edition of the Wrestling Observer Radio? He raped him. I mean, it wasn't even funny. He dirtbagged his ass.
Was something about Big Daddy?
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, it was.
I'm so sick of those Big Daddy threads. God damn
it. Me too.
My favorite Big Daddy moment was when Matt Striker said, more Daddy, more, on ECW that one time.
What are you going to say, Craig?
I want to see if the guy from Men on the Mission gets in the Hall of Fame.
That's funny. What are you going to say, Craig?
I'm
you're going to say, I agree with Brian. That's what you're going to say.
I know.
No, I totally do not agree with Brian. In fact, if you go to the board right now in our thread, somebody said something about us getting voting privileges, and I said no, but I agree with Dave.
Yeah, I agree with Dave too. And Brian's just trying his weak ass little trying to say the same thing and just getting not realizing that he's being raped in every orifices of his body.
I was hoping that you would bring up one last thing. You had said something about your internet radio that you listen to. What is it, Pandora? What are you listening to music on?
Oh, Pandora, yeah.
Okay. Oddly enough, this past week, I also figured out something. I listen to iHeartRadio on my iPhone, and it allows you to make your own stations, and
it's
I cracked
kind
up.
Kind of like Pandora in a way.
Yeah, I cracked up when I saw your post about how, oh my gosh, I just figured out how to put hairbands on my phone. I have made my own radio stations, and one of them is called Cinderella, and the other one is called Slaughter, and it's just nothing but hair metal. And I've been reliving my teenage years the past week. just driving out to pick up my kid from school and stuff. It's just phenomenal.
Well, what I had done is with I had made some stations on Pandora, and I had made when I was thinking about I like fucking hair bands, so I made my favorite hair band Rat. So I put in Rat, and then I also put in Bon Jovi, and you get you get different hair bands, but it always comes back to Rat and Bon Jovi. So I was like, I was kind of like. I was doing my paper, and I was like, I just finished listening to the Brian Vinny show. I was like, you know what? Let me try hair bands. I put in hair bands, and there's one right there, and I put it on, and oh my God, it was like being in freaking heaven. I was screaming and singing out loud, doing my fucking throwing papers out my window. it was awesome.
I only listen to WWE things. That's the only music I like.
You remember when the old Wrestling Observer Live were on some like 365.com website? They had a wrestling, because I typed in wrestling and some other stations, and there was one that all it did was play freaking theme songs and little promos with different promos, like a lot of Mankind. There was actually like a world class one, Dusty Rhodes, but all theme songs, and not just like WWE. They had Fujinami's theme song. They had all these different Japanese theme songs. They had the theme songs from the 80s when they came up to real music. It was fantastic. And then they kind of buffed it up to where you have to have like a paid subscription to hear it. And just like that broke my heart. But it was like I used to listen to that for hours at a time because it was just so cool.
Royalties killed all the great music in wrestling. Having to pay royalties to people.
That's right.
I know. I wish we could still sing. Well, I mean, I guess they're going to go with the Yes Act, but, you know, I love the final countdown for Bryan Danielson.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember on that, I started on Netflix, like a few months back, started watching Buffy the Vampire Slayer, and the theme music hit, and I said, holy shit, that's a yada. That was the Wrestling Observer Live theme song. But holy shit, that's creepy.
I also
wanted to make a quick mention. I think in maybe about a month or so, I think we're going to do I want to do a trivia contest here on the show.
Oh, I'm going to lose.
You can't participate. You're a host.
Okay.
I'm talking about with the list.
No, he can participate. He's not going to win.
Hey, I did say in that thread that when Michael Cole the other night thought that the Kevin Von Erich was the Texas tornado, I even did comment that even Craig Pupple knows who the Texas tornado was.
Yeah, thank you.
Anyway, I was going to say that I would like to do like a trivia contest because I've just about finished a DVD set of WCW from 1989. It's about a 20-disc set, and I was thinking we could give one away. What do you think?
Cool. Yeah, let's do it.
You can feel free to give your co-host that thing. that too.
Like a screener copy? But no, I've been, I've been making some and putting some together, and I'm kind of proud of them, so I thought we'd get some away.
That sounds great. Any idea is a good idea for now. Cool. I have one last thing, and then I'm going to go have some dinner. Tomorrow is the Uproar Festival in the Seattle area. And not only is Fozzy playing the Uproar Festival, but Chris Jericho is going to be making a special appearance at the Backstage Bar and Grill in Fife, which is literally 15 minutes from my house. I'm going to do my best to go stalk Chris Jericho and get him on the show.
Yeah,
Alvarez.
Brian Alvarez, and you know Lance Storm and Paul Lazenby.
Yes, I'll show them their phone numbers. Look, I got their phone numbers right here. See? Look, they're my Facebook friends.
He's like, you weirdo.
Yeah, exactly. I'll wear a Van Halen t-shirt. Maybe he'll accept me.
I know it'll be like AJ said, throwing a snowball into hell, but I should email Paul Lazenby and see if he'll give us Stone Cold an email and put in a good word for us.
Yeah, you get right on that. Oh, gosh. All right, I'm going to have some dinner. I'll talk to you guys later.
All right. Okay. Contreras, anything, last things you want to say before we wrap up?
You didn't watch Impact last night, did you?
No, I didn't see it.
You did. There was a funny thing. You probably heard about it on the Brian Vinny show where the Bully Ray was like outside the ring. Huh?
Craig was waiting for something, waiting on the line for a second, and I bet he's like, oh, God, here we go. Ah, fuck, I'm going to hang up. Go ahead.
I was going to say there's a bit where Bully Ray was challenging Austin Aries, and he'd come out to ringside and touch Bully Ray. He turned right around and pointed his finger and said, don't you ever touch me again or I'll punch you right in your face. And then and he said, he must be an Austin Aries fan. And Aries said, well, no, that's not a fan of mine. In fact, I'll go out there and punch him first. And then Bully's still walking around the ring. And another fan touches him, and he snaps his head back and looks. And obviously, it's a kid's Down syndrome. He just looks at him and says, don't worry about it. It was pretty funny.
That is pretty funny.
I thought he could get over more by threatening the retard or something. I don't know. It was funny the way it happened.
Yeah, no kidding. I mean, that would have been funny threatening this, like spitting in the face like he did into that chick on that ECW pay-per-view that one time. Remember the one in Florida where he's all, what did he say? You got some bitch that taught her daughter how to suck dick.
Suck black dick, I think he said.
No, he didn't say black dick. He just said suck dick. I know, I've watched that thing over and over again. That was awesome.
Hey, I remember that one. I thought this was going to be a riot or something. They're spitting on each other and shit like that.
Yeah. That lady was... That was crazy. And then her daughter's right there, too. I mean, it's not like she was a little kid, but I mean, still, you know. But that was crazy.
That's just shit that probably makes it fun to be a heel. You
can
do stuff like that.
Yeah. Anything else?
No, that's it.
Yeah, I don't think I got anything to talk about. But if anyone wants to get the links to the show and you don't want to go to Brian's site or Angry Marks, you can also go to my Facebook, Edward Laredo. Laredo's LORedo at Facebook. You can friend me there. And, also, if you got Twitter, which none of us on the show do, feel free to tweet our show info and links, and we would very much appreciate it. So help a few brothers out.
Why don't you make a Twitter for the show?
What?
Why don't you make a Twitter for the show? Get a Twitter.
Because I'm not the most technical guy on this. Do you think it'd be possible we made a Twitter for all three of us could use?
If we all three had passwords.
Yeah, okay, maybe I'm thinking, because I was kind of thinking about, you know, making a Twitter, but then I was thinking then maybe making two, like, my own and then have, like, a show Twitter.
Hmm.
I
don't think it's confused.
It wasn't me.
You think you're stupid and get blamed on me.
Right? Somebody made a Twitter for the drunk cast.
Oh, did you?
No, it wasn't me and it wasn't Stevie. I don't know who did it, but somebody had a Twitter the last time. It's been a long time since I looked at it, but I Googled Drunk Cast one time and I found the fucking Twitter and I was like, what the fuck is this? And I was like, you didn't tell me he made this. And the last tweet was about when Telly Blanchard was on the show. So, I mean, it was long. It's been a while, but I just freaked out that somebody had made a fucking Twitter for us and shit.
Don't be like TNA that went and purchased like 250,000 followers.
Right? Or didn't like Don Marie's like manager do that too, and she was making fun of the Blue Meanie?
Yeah.
It's like, who the fuck is going to buy Twitter followers?
I don't know. I mean,
do you wanna,
maybe I can
why
see,
do you
like,
want to pay for someone who, if, even if these are legit people, all they're going to do is put ignore or hide or not even see your shit anyway?
I think it was in this week's newsletter where somebody had done the homework about TNA bought so many followers and their real number was like maybe 30,000 followers, but they had on their page they had like 300,000 or something.
Wow. Right. That's crazy. But yeah, it's weird.
I don't get on Twitter that much. Just, I don't understand all that hashtag stuff. I always see people that like talking to somebody and it says at so and so site and it's supposed to be their name or something. I don't understand much of that stuff. So I don't get involved.
Yeah, some of it looks confusing. That's why, you know, I'm not the most technical person. That's why I kind of shied away from getting it. But then, of course, once they got on Twitter, it's like,
yeah.
Now I'm like, I got to get on Twitter. I got to find out what kind of crazy shit Dave's talking about because, you know, as professional and as cool and straight up as Dave is, Dave will say some crazy shit.
You should get on Tout.
Who, me?
Yeah.
Or Dave?
I saw DC Snipers on Tout.
Oh, no shit? I got to check that out. Dave should get a Tout and then send it to WWE and then, like, right before the commercial, they'll be like, hey, everybody. How's it going, everybody? It's Dave. That would be awesome.
Sniper just turns to pee on people. That's all he does on his tout.
Oh, I'm sure. I remember when he first got on Twitter, I remember somebody had a thread for his Twitter, and he had some funny shit, and he was actually getting responses from, like, Tommy Dreamer and other people. And I remember during one of the ROH pay-per-views, they put it over on commentary. Time. And I remember I was like, when we went to WrestleMania in Georgia, and we were at the the hell do you call it, the ROH show, and I'm giving, like, updates on Facebook, and I guess Brian's probably, you know, tweeting or putting shit on the website, and then I get a text, or I don't know if it was a text or a Facebook message from Sniper, talking about how mine was so much better than Brian. I was talking shit about Brian. I showed Craig started laughing. Craig showed Brian, and Brian's like, Brian just like shook his hand and like threw his fist like, fuck
you. You got mentioned on one of those shows, didn't you?
Yeah, I got, that's the one where it was kind of scary as fuck too. It's, okay, the Necro Butcher threw that one guy who died. Oh, Bison Smith? Yeah, Bison. He threw Bison Smith on mine and Brian's lap. And while this big-ass dude is on our lap, all I see is these Flintstone feet jump on top of the railing, and I look up, and there's Necro Butcher coming kind of straight at me, giving him the elbow on top of my lap. And then they go fighting down while the fans are, and then you hear, a few seconds later, you'll hear Prazak say, right in the lap of Ed in San Antonio. So I'm going to, like, when I go to WrestleMania this year, I'm planning on going to, well, actually, the one thing I got tickets for already is I got Shimmer tickets. And so I'm going to make sure I hit a Prazak before the show so he can know to name drop me again. Prazak's a cool dude. I mean, it was a trip. When I met him in person the first time at one of the Georgia shows, I think it was the second one. And he was actually talking to Craig and Brian against the railing, or Craig and somebody against the railing, and I'm just kind of walking forth there, and he starts yelling my name and knew who I was. I was like, damn, that's pretty cool. And then he even gave me, like, a quick interview after the show and stuff. So he's a cool dude. So, yeah, that's the one thing I got to take for is the Shimmer one so far. But I plan on going to ROH, Shimmer, Chikara, the Hall of Fame, and Mania.
Yeah, you get to go to Madison Square Garden.
Yeah, so that's why I was, because I had told myself two things before, you know, while the trip was kind of being planned. I'm like, okay, if it's not in the Madison Square Garden, I don't care who's in it, I'm not going. And then the other part was, if it's at Madison Square Garden, I'm going, I don't care who's going in. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, and then the Hammerstein is supposed to be like right across the street from it. And then like some guy on the board already made me a map on how to get from Jakarta to the Hall of Fame. It's like 15 minutes by cab, 45 by subway. So, I mean, it shouldn't be that hard.
I just follow somebody. That's what
yeah.
I do.
The what?
I said, I just follow somebody.
Yeah, well, that's what we usually do. Well, usually Rodney has a car, but he's not going this year.
And, oh, you get to go to Hammerstein, too, so you get to go to kind of two famous places.
Yeah, that would be super cool. Speaking of Rodney, before we go, I won't get too much into the situation, but it just struck me. I talked to him the other day, and it was hilarious when he says, "Ed, if there would have been a blunt object in the house, I would have beat the insurance adjuster to death with it." The insurance adjuster?
Oh, okay.
And he's like, "I want to beat him to death with it." You know, as he started talking all this shit, I was like, is this Rodney or somebody else?
Would he come to assess all the damage on the house or something?
Yeah. So, you know,
I told him a couple weeks ago. I told him a couple weeks ago to see if he was still, see how he was doing. He was staying with his sister or something like that. But,
well, right now he's staying at a hotel. And the insurance company is going to pay for that. So he's been not too far, so he's, you know, at a nice little hotel.
Hope the DVDs are standing if they didn't get destroyed. Hope he's safe.
The what?
The DVDs are standing, I hope he's safe. We're hard on that stuff.
Right? Well, I'm sure that's one of the things he threw in his bag as personal belongings when they first got out.
hey, when one of the pipelines, when I live in Louisiana, like, it was like, there was this field where, like, one of the pipelines was, and the pipeline exploded, and it was just flames all up in the air, and I was living out in the bayou, and I went outside to looked up, and the sky was all red, and looked up, and there's nothing but flames. It looked like it was flames, like, right at the end of the road where you come to my house, to where my house was, and I thought, holy shit, I'm here in these woods, and this fire's coming closer and closer. I got to get the fuck out of here. So I run back inside. I pack up the dogs, because I live with two other guys and had their hunting dogs there, so I go put their hunting dogs in my car.
Uh-huh.
Of course, they shit in the car, because they're not used to being in a car like that. So they get nervous. So I do that, and then I don't know what I was saying. I said, you know, I got all this stuff here. I need to say something. So the first thing, I went over there and we had the illegal DirecTV card. So I took it out of the slot and stuck it in my pocket so it didn't get burned up. So I say that. That's the kind of shit that I care about.
Right. That's like the most important thing right there.
Shit, you know how much money we'd have been paying? We had one of those people that was good with computers and could program those cards and got everything for free.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Cool. Well, I guess we'll go ahead and wrap up the show now. So everybody come back next week, and we will talk to everybody then.
To be the man, you gotta beat the man. You wanna find out how good you are? You're looking at the American shit. Let's go hook him up! Texas ass out. Game is awesome. And
hell, I might even get on top of my wife tonight.